This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan. Looking at some rain totals here throughout the Red River Valley and beyond, from Endon, Alvarado, Minnesota at 18 one-hundredths of an inch, Brockett, North Dakota, 19 one-hundredths, Cando, North Dakota, 28 one-hundredths, Wahpeton at 15 one-hundredths, and Warren, Minnesota at 35 one-hundredths. And looking at the radar, still seeing some rain and snow mix in the northern parts of Minnesota. National Weather Service Grand Forks-based meteorologist Austin Perot says rain is expected to continue over much of the eastern Dakotas and northern Minnesota through tomorrow.
The main expectation for the rest of the day and tomorrow is to see this drizzle slash rain kind of lingering around. Might see some snowflakes mix in, especially further north, although that's through the day today as we warm up. It's going to become a bit harder to come across. Eventually, we should see this start to diminish after 7 p.m. time frame. And into tomorrow, we start turning our attention towards this next system. It's going to be coming in from west to east Tuesday morning. Again, same issues, rain, may see some snow mix in, at least initially, but it looks like it's going to be another primarily rain event.
Temperatures should start to warm up some over the next couple of days.
So temperatures today are going to be in the low to mid 40s, especially with this cloud cover lingering around. We're not going to be warming up too much. For tonight, seeing temperatures fall to around or slightly below freezing, especially further north. And then tomorrow it's going to be a little bit warmer, temperatures getting up into the mid-50s. And then similar thing for tomorrow night, maybe a little bit warmer again, mid to upper 30s for lows.
NDSU Carrington Research Extension Center cropping systems specialist Greg Endres retires tomorrow. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Endres reflects on his 40 years at NDSU Extension. He says access to information has been a big change.
Information is so much more readily available now than it was a couple of decades ago, say before 2000. And I remember when I first started Extension in the early 80s, 1980s, some of the first in-service trainings we had was how to use a computer. And I think back, and it was scary for us, and now it's an everyday, it's a necessary item of life.
Endres says being part of the increase in soybean production in North Dakota is a highlight of his career.
One I can think of readily is the growth in soybeans in the state. In the 80s and even early 90s, we had very low acreage. Definitely soybean was a specialty crop. And then it's just been fun to be involved with the growth of soybean acres and production in the state, starting in about the mid-90s and continues to be a very major crop for us now. And so it's been fun to be involved with educational efforts to help crop advisors and farmers, and as well as research projects to help fine-tune the production of this crop.
An open house will be held in honor of Endres from 2 to 4 this afternoon at the Carrington Research Extension Center. You can also hear that entire interview with Endres on the Red River Farm Network website.
Trade associations are asking the EPA to meet the November deadline for the 2026 Renewable Fuels Standards volumes. Clean Fuels Alliance America Director of Public Affairs and Federal Communications, Paul Winters, says the last RFS volumes fell short.
The statutory deadline for the renewable fuel standard rules is for EPA to finalize them at least 14 months before the beginning of the year to which they apply. That deadline has been in place since the RFS was written. EPA finalized the 2023 through 2025 rules in the middle of 2023, in the middle of the compliance year. And the problem is that they did not account for the growth that was already occurring in biomass-based diesel, in renewable diesel, biodiesel, and even sustainable aviation fuel.
Winter says their organization is fine with multi-year standards if they hit the right volumes.
I think EPA has demonstrated that they have the authority to set multi-year volumes. our industry would really appreciate forward-looking volumes as long as they are going to allow growth and incorporate the potential for further growth. If EPA sets bad volumes over multiple years, it simply sends the wrong signal to our industry. It hampers growth rather than supporting it. We would welcome multi-year volumes for 2026 through 2028 if EPA gets them right.
Wendell Cohn farms in south central Missouri and has a large share of his corn planted.
Where we're sitting, we've had a really good run of farming. It's been somewhat dry, and we've been able to move a lot of crops, probably almost historic in our area. And then the last day or so, rains came in, and it has shut us down completely.
Cohn says the area got a little too much rain in this system, which will keep the planters parked for a bit. With an early spring, an insecticide may be needed.
We've had a lot of warm early spring, and I think that's been true for a lot of people. And so there's a lot of moths that have flown in early, and so we have cutworm and armyworm that have already, I seen one the other day that was pretty advanced in its stage. So I don't know if they're going to last long enough with that corn coming up, but it's something to keep an eye on if you have a lot of cover and weeds out in the field is what I'm seeing.
USDA's weekly export inspection report shows corn inspections for the week ending April 25th of 1.22 million metric tons. That's down 26% from the previous week and 19% less than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 250,000 tons are 44% less than the previous week and 39% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections of 481,000 tons are 7% more than the previous week and 32% above the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 32% ahead of last year's pace. Soybean inspections 18% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections are running 7% behind a year ago. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Make sure calves are nursing soon after birth. That's a key to keeping calves healthy. Iowa State University Extension beef field specialist Beth Doran says timing is critical.
Check those cows, you know, after they're calving to make sure that calf is getting up and sucking early on. And when I say early on, you know, within the first 6 hours is when the colostrum is going to be able to be absorbed, you know, by their body. So it's important that they get that colostrum, you know, within that first 6 hours, no later than 12 hours, but for every hour past those 6 hours, you know, their immunity could be compromised. So it's important to make sure they get up, get going, that you know, are helping them. If they're not nursing, that you're helping them get, you know, some colostrum into them.
And if that colostrum is not available from the mother, where the colostrum comes from is important.
If the producer needs to get colostrum, I would encourage that, you know, they try to get colostrum from the cows within their herd. Right now, specifically where we're looking at the bovine avian influenza 1 virus that's out there, I don't recommend going to another herd to get that. If you can't get colostrum from a cow within your own herd, and I realize that's tough to do because they got to be calving about the same period of time, then I, you know, go and buy a colostrum replacer, not a colostrum supplement, but a colostrum replacer. And you can get that from your local farm supply stores.
USDA's new standard for traceability in cattle is electronic ID tags. This replaces the 2013 rule that called for visual ID tags. In a statement, USDA said the decision was being made to respond quickly to foreign animal diseases. This rule applies to sexually intact cattle 18 months of age or older, rodeo and exhibition cattle, and dairy cattle moving interstate.
Wheat market led the grains last week. AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler said there could be some dark clouds on the horizon, though, for wheat.
Got to keep in mind that our ratings last week, they did drop 5 points, but the crop for the winter wheat is rated 50% good to excellent condition, and that's well above 26% above a year ago. Wheat's going to be facing some problems here, I feel, because Our exports are just barely enough to meet USDA's target, 710 million bushels.
Ann Strickler does not expect planting delays to have much of a market impact.
Overall, corn and beans are really searching for a storage. They don't really have one right now. Planting is running a bit ahead of schedule here. If we're going into early May, we're looking at the forecast being for above normal temperatures with normal to above normal moisture. So any delays are going to be just minimal.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says weather is driving the market.
Chicago wheat's definitely under pressure here this morning. The hole in the rainfall, though, was definitely from south central, southwest Kansas, all the way down to west Texas, and doesn't look like there's much in the forecast here in the near term as well. And then, of course, weather in Europe, and that might be putting a little bit of pressure on Chicago as well. Looks like there's some better chances over France, and then some parts of the Black Sea, exporting countries like Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, and Russia.
Livestock markets are softer as traders wait for fresh news.
Looks to be kind of choppy trade here to start out this week. We did have a steady cash feedlot trade last week in Texas and Kansas, 182, 183, caught most of it. Northern trade, though, actually a couple bucks higher than the week previous, 185 up to 187 live, and most of it 294, 295 dressed.
Syngenta Group is reporting 2024 fiscal year first quarter earnings of $1.2 billion. That's down 34% year over year. Syngenta says first quarter sales were down 20% to $7.4 billion, which was impacted by industry-wide destocking in crop protection products. Syngenta Seeds' overall first quarter results of $1.4 billion is down 8% from last year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Midwest Dry Bean Coalition is a new group whose focus will be on promoting and advocating on behalf of dry bean farmers throughout the Midwest. Coalition President and Green Valley Bean Company John Berthold says that though they are a newer group, they've already had what he considers a very successful start to the year.
The Midwest Dry Bean Coalition is an entity formed between the North Harvest Bean Growers Association and processors from North Dakota and Minnesota region. The purpose of the entity is primarily to engage various government agencies and promote the use of dry beans in domestic food programs, school nutrition service, and to just work on overall increase in consumption. We're just at our inception. We're probably about halfway, maybe a little over halfway through our first year, and so far so good. We've had people out in Washington, D.C. a couple of times. We've had people down in Kansas City in the Kansas City Commodity Office. So we're working pretty hard to increase the consumption of dry beans.
A large part of what Midwest Dry Bean Coalition focuses on is promoting dry beans throughout the country and working with other groups to help increase dry bean consumption.
The Farm Bill is one part of it. The other part is getting the USDA and AMS to include beans on some of their purchasing programs. And the USDA is a major, major buyer of commodities, so we want to be in there and really be a supplier to that market.
A look at markets before we leave you. July wheat, Minneapolis, 3¾ cents higher at 707¼. September, 4¼ higher at 714¼. July wheat, Chicago, 14¾ cents lower at 607½. Kansas City, down 3¾ at 650½. July corn futures, a penny lower at 449. September, down a penny. December corn, a penny and a quarter lower at 472¼. July soybeans 6¾ higher at 11.84¼. August soybeans 6¾ higher as well at 11.87½. November soybeans 5¼ higher at 11.80. Live cattle June futures down $1.37 at 177.20. August live cattle $1.10 lower at 175.70. Feeder cattle May futures down 60 cents. Lean hogs May down 27 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.